Well, good morning. I hope everybody is doing well and had a chance to greet those around you. And certainly, we don't want to hinder you from greeting one another. That's good fellowship and catching up on the week's activities. And it's good to see. I hope that you had a chance to greet our guests. We will certainly do that in a little bit more formal matter in just a moment. But we do want to extend a welcome to you. There are pew pads at the end of every aisle. I invite you, if you would, please take that. And sign as you go down. And guest, if you don't mind giving us a little information on that, we will not stalk you. We will just be sure to welcome you and add you to our mailing list, okay? And then at the end, when you get to the end of the row, if you just return the pew pad back to where it started from, that will help our ushers as they collect those at the end of the service. You may have noticed that I am not Jeff, and Jeff is gone this week. He is in Hendersonville, God's country, at Camp Canoga. With the children at children's camp up there, they've been having a great weekend, beautiful weather, fabulous weather, and having a great time. So continue to remember them. This is always a life-changing. I don't say that flippantly. It truly is a life-changing event for many of those children as they're kind of removed, you know, in a retreat setting. They're able to perhaps maybe hear God's voice a little more clearly. And it's an awesome time for them. So pray for our children, pray for our leaders, especially as they travel back later on today. I want to remind you that the church office will be closed tomorrow. There are no evening activities today. You might have seen a truss as you came in the building today, a little big wooden truss on the left-hand side as you came in. That is a reminder to you, a visual aid, if you will, when you walk in and stump your toe on that you're supposed to sign the paper there to help us with our home mission project this summer. So there are dates there, all the information about that, and you can sign up. If you have any questions about that, you can certainly talk to Jeremy or John or Charlie Jones when he shows up, when he gets back here. We continue to pray for him. Roger, any of those that are on that, Linnea, that are on that committee. Certainly they can answer your questions. You have other upcoming events. I ask you if you would just hang on to your bulletin, and there's upcoming events on the inside as well as the opportunities for the week on the back. I won't read all those to you. Trust you to kind of keep up with what's going on this week. We do want to extend a special welcome to those who are guests. Our ushers are coming down the aisle, and as they come down, they're going to be scoping out to see where our guests are. And as they return back up the aisle, if you would just kind of stick up your hand just enough to where they can see you. We don't want to embarrass you, but we're glad that you're here with you, and we've got some information that we would like to give to you. Has our highlights in there, talks about different things that are happening in the life of the church, and ministries, and things that are happening here. I invite you, if you would, please, there's a survey in there. If you could return that to us, that would help us as we continue to minister to those who come to be a part of worship with us. So members, be sure to notice where our guests are and be sure and welcome them. At a time this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of things that are going on. And certainly, it's very upfront in the news about the fact that it is Memorial Day weekend. Unfortunately for many, they don't know what the meaning of Memorial Day is. They think it's a great time to buy a car or a great time to buy a grill or you know, a discount on steak or something along that line. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but at the heart of Memorial Day, we need to remember, and I know you know the history of it. I know you know that there are several cities that have claimed the origination of this, but the idea is honoring those who have given their life and sacrifice to their country. That is the heart of Memorial Day. We remember those who have served, those who sacrificed, who gave the ultimate price, if you will, in defense of the freedoms that we enjoy and unfortunately too often take for granted. So we pause today to give recognition, to observe the day, Memorial Day, especially the whole weekend. And today in service, what we would like to do, we would like to recognize those, and I understand that Memorial Day is to be about those who have paid the ultimate price. I understand that. But I also know that there's very few times that we really recognize those who have served in our armed forces, and we want to recognize all of you. But first, what I would like to do is for those who are family of someone who was killed in service to their country. If you have a family member who was killed in service of their country, would you mind standing, please? We thank you for standing. If you would remain standing, please. Please remain standing. And I would like to invite all of those who have served in our armed forces, no matter what branch, no matter at what time, all of you that have served in our armed forces, if you would please join these family members in standing. We thank you for your service, and we are indebted to your sacrifice. I challenge you as you go through the rest of this weekend and tomorrow as the commercial bombardment hits you, remember really what Memorial Day is about. I know that we also want to remember the families of those who were prisoner of war and the families of those who were listed as missing in action. We talk a lot about having resolution and closure for a lot of those families. That they didn't have that opportunity. So we certainly want to remember them as well. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Pray for all of these concerns. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who unselfishly have given of their life to protect the freedoms that we enjoy. The freedom to come together this morning, to worship without fear of interference from government. Father, we thank you for that, and we recognize that as a gift from you and a gift that many have died to defend. Father, we also pray for all of our men and women who've served in the armed forces. We kind of take a lot of that for granted, just knowing that there are people out there. But Father, it is truly sobering to see the number of people who have chosen to defend our freedoms. We're truly thankful. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for those who have paid the ultimate price and for the families who remember on this special holiday weekend. God, we pray that as we in our everyday life interact with people, that we would be aware to be sensitive to those who have served, those who may be handicapped physically or emotionally or psychologically as a result of their service. And Father, we pray that in our dealing with those people, we would remember how grateful we should be for their service. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Ask you and join men standing for the playing of taps, followed by the reading of the 23rd Psalm, which is often called the Soldier's Prayer. So I invite you now to stand with me. Is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our Lord and our God, that is why we come this morning to bring you praise. Lord, with the assurance that you are ours and we are yours. Lord, knowing your self-sacrificing love. Lord, knowing that your promises are true. Knowing that you are our friend and our maker and our sustainer. And our Savior. Lord, we come this morning to give you praise. Let your Spirit this morning be in our midst as we sing, as we hear your word. Lord, help us to sing with our whole hearts. Help us to listen with our whole hearts. And Lord, let us leave this morning changed by your presence. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. So used to having our children's sermon right there. We always love it. But I will not do one this morning. Instead, I'm going to ask you to join me in the reading of our scripture that is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 8 through 13. And then we'll move on down to 23 through 33. So if you would like to join me as I read these for us. Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name and let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. Then moving down to verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth and proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we hear these words ringing into our soul, reminding us of your glory and your majesty and how you put everything in place on this earth for us to enjoy, the beauty yesterday of the blue sky, the sun and the leaves as they rustled in the breeze, and just the beauty all around us. We praise you and thank you. Father, we also thank you for the beauty that you are, for you are a beautiful God. And you have a beautiful spirit to place in each of us as we are willing. You wait for us to come to you and turn to you, that you may grace us with your presence. Help us to put aside our busyness, our distractions. Help us to put you first in our lives, that relationship with you, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we may live into the beauty that you are and into your holiness, that we may live into your promises that you've given us in your word, that we may place our feet firmly upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and stand tall in him, that we may make our hearts available to you, that you may do your blessed work in us. Father, we just pray that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, not only today, but throughout our week when we leave this place. Continue to remind us of your majesty and glory, but continue to remind us how you walk with us every day through every challenge, bringing all that you are into our everyday lives, helping us with every task and every challenge, every responsibility, guiding relationships, guiding decisions, and how you care about everything about our lives. It's amazing how you in your greatness and glory care so much about our lives in every detail. Thank you. Only a true, amazing God could have that ability. So, Father, thank you, and thank you for Jesus Christ, that we have forgiveness and grace. And as we have thanked you for all those who gave their lives in service for this country, we thank you for every family that's represented in that sacrifice, that those families will be doubly blessed and watched over. And we thank you for all those who have also given themselves through the years for the life of this church. Thank you for all those saints that watches from above. In thy name we pray.
Last time I was up here was in February, my grandson's birthday. And today, because of those that we have honored, my grandson, my granddaughter, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren can enjoy the freedoms that we know in this country today. And as Raymond's already mentioned, help us as parents and grandparents to impress upon them to not take these freedoms for granted. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for those who have been honored today, the sacrifices they made, the sacrifices their families made. But we thank you also for the greatest sacrifice of all, you giving your only Son to die for our sins and to set us free. Dear Lord, bless these gifts that are given today. We are so grateful, so fortunate to live in a country that has religious freedom. So may we use these gifts to glorify your name, to further your kingdom, to reach out to others here and around the world. And it is in your son's name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you. cracked and faded by the years. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer. Remember me when you pray in tears of joy far from your eyes. And age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace, child of wonder, child. Children leave their Sunday school with smiles. Remember me when they're old enough to teach, old enough to preach, old enough to leave, and age to age and heart to
The very nature of a day like Memorial Day requires us to remember. Remember a lot of things, perhaps. Remember the sacrifice of others who gave their life, as we've said already, so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. You know, and as I reflected on that fact this week, and as I prepared for Bible study on Wednesday night, the study that we did in there, I was struck by several basics of our faith that I think require us to remember. Require us to remember. The first of which is, I think we must remember, as Becky has said, and hopefully we don't have to say, but we're going to anyway, is the fact we need to remember. We must remember the nature of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must remember that. You know, we're not that far removed. Just several weeks ago, we came into this place and there were Easter lilies everywhere, and we were singing Easter songs and we were celebrating Easter. But prior to that, we had been in a season of Lent where we journeyed together. We remembered the steps along the way as Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem. We remembered Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, even knowing what was going to happen on Friday. And Jesus was aware of that, but we remembered. We remembered what Jesus taught the disciples as he gathered with them in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, the lessons he taught. We remembered his betrayal in the garden. We remembered his denial, the denial of him by Peter around the campfire. We remembered the crucifixion on Friday. But we also must remember that the story didn't end on Friday night, fortunately for me and you. But the story of God's love, the story of God's sacrifice, continued to Easter Sunday and all the way through to today. And even as we remember all of that, I believe we still need to be drawn back to the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, as Jesus is teaching, and he talks about the story of the vine and the branches, and then picking up in verse 9, a familiar passage, but let's hear it again. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." You could preach a month of sermons on that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You know, as I thought about that and reflected on that and had a great conversation with Bill Clapp Wednesday night about hymns and the great theology of many of our hymns, I took this theme of friendship, that Jesus is a friend. Sometimes, yes, it's a personal relationship. Sometimes we think, well, God doesn't care about me. He really doesn't care about the little things in life. Yes, he does. He cares about every detail of our lives. He is a true friend. And in our hymnal, beginning about hymn number 181, exactly at 181, there is a series of hymns that carry through on this idea of Jesus as a friend, not a foe, not a cosmic cop waiting on you to mess up so he can squash you like a bug. He's a friend. He wants you to do well. He wants you to have a relationship with him. Hymn number 181, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one." Hymn 182, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Hymn number 183, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend. Christ loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him." Number 184, "Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er." 185, "Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole." Hymn number 186, "Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Jesus, my faithful friend. Through darkest night he leads me. I put my trust in him." I'll let you read on from there. Hopefully that will spur you on, not to read during the sermon, of course, maybe, but next week. No greater love than this, but what you lay down your life for your friends. Remember the nature of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and for I. Second, We need to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Second, we also need to remember the early apostles, the new believers who sacrificed everything to be obedient to God's calling in their lives. If you go back and read, what happened to the original 12 apostles. We know what happened to Judas, and that was kind of an ugly ending. But go back and read about the other 11 and as they picked up another. Go back and read. Go back and do your research on how they lived their lives, how they died following Jesus. Sometimes we forget about that. We have a glamorized view of the apostles. Go back and research that. I was also reminded Wednesday night of the Apostle Paul and the early church. They're both the Jewish converts as well as the Gentile converts. And we talked about the fact that when Paul was beaten and he was imprisoned, what that did to the other believers there. It kind of mobilized them. It was almost like, well, you know, we were counting on Paul to spread the gospel, but he's been beaten and locked up. So who's going to do this? Oh, wait, maybe we could. And sometimes we have that reaction. Hopefully I'm not going to be imprisoned or beaten this week, but you know, the idea is, you know, we are the ones that are called, each and every one of us. And these new believers, they hit the street. And they were telling other people about Jesus. They were telling other people about his selfless sacrifice for them. And that is probably, if I can nail it down into two words, the whole gist of the sermon, that's it. Selfless sacrifice. Not selfish, selfless sacrifice. And as we remember the original 12 and many of these new believers in the first and second century church and all the way through to today, who were martyred for their faith, who were killed, who paid the ultimate price. In some ways, it just literally defy comprehension how these people were killed for their faith. There's several resources if you're interested in looking at them. Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is kind of a classic. I mean, it's one that most seminary students or div students are very well familiar with. Stories of those from the first century on through modern times, of those who have paid the price with their physical life because of their absolute insistence they would not deny their faith. They would not deny their Lord and Savior. I'll warn you, as parents, it's really not for young eyes. Many of these are quite gruesome descriptions because of the nature of the sacrifice that many made. Also, a little bit more contemporized version of that, as well as others that are listed, are in the Jesus Freaks books by D.C. Talk, Volume 1 and 2, that tell of people, even going on today, all around the world. I mean, you hear in the news that Christians that are being persecuted and killed because of their faith. No greater love. And thirdly, I want us to remember those who planted this church right here in this community. Sometimes we don't stop and remember that as much as we should, perhaps. I believe our heritage is very rich. And there was sacrifice, perhaps not with their physical lives, but certainly with their time and their energy. Those early church fathers and mothers and families that planted College Park right here in the fork of the road, To be a lighthouse here. To be a lighthouse here in this community. Because they understood it's about community. It's about family. It's about God has given us to each other. Like it or not. I don't know why I look at y'all when I say that. I probably shouldn't have done that. Like it or not, God has given us to each other. To love one another. To take care of one another. To encourage one another. And you should be shouting amen at this point. To encourage one another. But that's not the only reason we're here. Like every lighthouse, we are to be shedding light into the community. We are to be bringing people here. We are to take the message there. But we can also invite them here. I told the deacons Wednesday night about an individual recently who told me, he said, Raymond, if people knew that a church like College Park really existed, You know, real church, what a church should be. If they knew that a church like College Park actually existed, you wouldn't have enough room here on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. You wouldn't have enough room here. So I thought, well, okay. We know that we're a welcoming place, right? You are very welcome. We are a very welcoming congregation. I get that feedback constantly from the surveys that are in the visitors pack. When I follow up with guests, every time they say, I've never been more welcomed in a church than when we came to College Park. I get that all the time. So I don't think that's the issue at all. But see, welcoming is when they come to us, we welcome them. Maybe that's not the issue. Maybe we, in addition to being a welcoming place, we need to be a more inviting place. We need to take that same spirit with which we welcome those who come to us to go into the community to let them know what Christ has done for them, to invite them to be a part of this fellowship, this support, this encouragement, opportunity to worship. Maybe that's our learning curve. So we need to remember. Remember those who planted this church here. Remember those in the first generations of new believers for their commitment to spreading the good news by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember most of all the selfless act of God the Father who gave us His only Son. And the selfless act of Jesus Christ who followed through was willing to be the sacrifice for our sins. No greater love. Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church, the cornerstone of our faith. Let's pray, give Him thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You as thankful people, remembering all that You've done for us, pausing from the hustle and bustle of life and the stress of life to lay before You and just give You praise and glory for who You are and give You thanks for all that You've done for us. God, we pray that from this day forward, our lives would be the kind of lives that would reflect Your love to other people so that we could live out the words of Jesus, the commands of Jesus, to love others even as You have loved us. Father, we're going to need help with that because we are selfish creatures and You are selfless. So we're going to need Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to correct us, to remind us, to help us to remember. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no better day than today. This is the day. I'll be here in the front when you stand and sing in just a moment. Be glad to share with you how you can have that personal relationship with the Creator of the universe, who loves you, who gave Himself for you. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I really need to kind of get back on track, to be more inviting, to share my faith, to encourage other people right where they are in their journey in life, you can certainly square that with God and talk to Him right where you are. If you'd like to talk with me, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. As I've already said, I am firmly convinced there's no better place to work and to worship and to do ministry than College Park Baptist Church. And I'll be glad to talk with you about ways we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I'm Following the benediction, the response, I encourage you, greet one another as we go out from here. Remember this week, we have been saved to serve, and we serve an awesome God. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go, we ask for your guidance. Father, we ask for the opportunity to tell someone this week how much you mean to us and what a transformation has taken place in our life as a result of knowing you and loving you. May we also love others truly as you've loved us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, in peace, oh, Lord, in joy. Thank you.